Yes, guys, good morning. Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalms. And let us read Psalm 86 before we start prayer. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Verse 2, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Either are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of the violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save me, the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hated me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. And to us, we thank you for your word that we have read, O God. Through you, Lord, as David was passing through the same, passing same struggles and difficulties and enemies and pressures of life and mercy and work of Satan against us. But here we are, Lord. We are coming to you by faith, trusting you, Lord, that you will help us, you will deliver us, you will save us, you will protect us and provide for us. We thank you, Lord, for your Son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins to give us eternal life. Let's come now to God and give him thanks for all what he had done and what he is doing for us. We magnify you, Lord. We adore you. We worship you. O God, for the salvation, we thank you. For our families, the good health, for your word that you give us, for the gift of prayers, for your church. You have put us in your family. For the people that you had a place to serve you with us. We magnify you, Lord. And we adore you. O God, we thank you for the good health, the provision, the good sleep, Thank you for the jobs, the income, the salaries, O God. Thank you for the miracles and wonders. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that we are enjoying even now, O God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that with us today, O God. Let's come now to God. Let us confess our sins. Let us be ashamed of what we have done wrong. Let us say sorry to God. Confess and renounce your sin. He will forgive and He will cleanse you and He will purify you from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. We magnify, Lord. We adore you. We worship you. Lord, continue to convict us. Convict your church, your people, your workers of sin and shortcomings, O God, and lead us out from troubles, which is both sin and things unpleasant to you, so that your church will be cleansed and purified. O Lord, let's now ask the Lord our needs, whatever we need, small or big need, let us ask the Lord, and He will cheerfully give us. Yes, Lord, we trust you all our needs, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, answering your prayer. Give Him your burden. He will be the one to help you. He will be the one to provide for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, we have your promises that say be anxious about nothing but in a prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your request to God. Presenting our request to you, Lord. Help us, provide for us, sustain us, O God. Answer our prayers, meet our needs, O God. The big and the small, the complicated needs, the emotional needs, the physical, the spiritual, the physical, the material needs, we trust you all this in your hands. Pray now for your family. Pray for your husband, pray for your wife, pray for your children, pray for your parents, pray for your siblings. Bless the families of God. I pray that each family to be fruitful to you. They will be united in one purpose to show Christ to others. Bestow your blessings, your grace upon the families. Provide for them, O God, and help them. And strengthen them, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. O God, we magnify you, Lord. We adore you, we worship you. O God, bless the families, O God, let them shine. Let each and every family work for you. I pray for salvations of the member who are not saved among them. I pray even, Lord, that you will use the families to reach the lost around them. O God, that they will have Bible studies with their neighbors, raise the lost souls around them, O God. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Pray now for your job and your income. And pray for the place that you are working, the salvation of the souls there. Pray for your boss. Pray for your colleagues that you will preach the gospel to them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. We magnify you, Lord. We adore you. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you for your loving kindness, Lord. Thank you for the places that my brothers and sisters are working, Maintain it, Lord. Let them shine salvation for their colleagues. Open their mouth. They will preach the gospel to them. I pray also, Lord, that they will receive their salaries on time. And they will bring to you, Lord, what is belong to you from tithes and offering and first fruit. I pray for the companies who are delaying in salaries. You touch them to give on time, and also whatever pending salary, Lord, I pray that you give these companies so they will provide and they will give to your people. Let's pray now for one another. Let's pray if you know anybody, brother or sister, who is in need, having a problem, lost job, sickness, wisdom, having a problem. Let's pray. Let's leave them in a prayer. Even if you know a family who is in trouble, you pray. God, our God, is a God who answers prayer. Hear our prayer, Lord. We have no one but you to pray and to intercede, O God. Hear us as we pray for our brothers and sisters. Solve a problem, open your hand and provide, protect, strengthen. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Let's pray now for the people around us, our friends, colleagues, our neighbors, our relatives, our colleagues, our classmates, all the friends. Let's pray for them to be saved. Let's pray that we will preach the gospel. And the gospel will be preached in whatever way possible to new people, that they might be saved and know and come to the knowledge of Christ. Lord, hear our prayer. Hear our cry for mercy, O God. We magnify, Lord, we worship you. We pray for all our contacts, our neighborhood, our relatives, our friends, the people we meet in the going out to walk, the people in our walk, the people that we meet in the market, in the street. We pray for salvation of souls. We pray, O God, for more people to receive you as Savior and Lord over their life. Through our life and through our ministry. I pray for, oh God, more people to receive water baptism. I pray for more Bible studies and more congregation for the church to be planted. Help us, Lord, to continue to evangelize. Use all the media and the way that we have, the easy way of to connect with people. Use them for your glory. Let's pray now for this country. Let's pray for UAE and pray for Oman, where the church had extended to Kuwait, to Iraq, to India, to Sri Lanka, to Philippines, to Pakistan, to Australia, America, Sierra Leone, Malawi, Uganda, Nigeria, and in whatever place God had bless our brothers and sisters, even individual members, even families, even congregation. Let's pray that God give us favor in the sight of all these governments, and we will be well provided, our logistic needs, our offices, whatever office we need, documents we need. You are, oh God, you are the head of the church, and you will provide. We commit ourselves to preach the gospel. We commit ourselves to pray for the nations around us. We commit ourselves to evangelize. We commit ourselves to obey the rules and regulations. Oh God, we thank you. We commit ourselves that we reproduce, every one of us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the character and the attitude of Jesus will be manifested. Love and peace and joy, giving, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and kindness, self-control, patience will be manifested in our lives, O God. Let's pray now for the church. Let's pray for each and everyone in his ministry. I pray, Lord, that you refill us once again with the Holy Ghost, and those who have not yet baptized, fill them with the Holy Spirit, and let be speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, message of wisdom, message of knowledge given to us, gift of healing, gift of faith. O Lord, gift of pastoring, teaching, exhorting, evangelizing. O God, help us and guide us and strengthen us to go on and serve you and worship you, Lord, in the spirit and the truth. O Lord, I pray that you fulfill the vision of the church, multiplication in peace, with implementing the whole will of God. I pray for anointing upon all the pastors, the elders, the parents, the teacher, and also the evangelists in the church. We pray also, Lord, that you enable us to plant more Bible studies and more also congregations of God. And even we pray for today worship, Lord. Pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the worship of God. Anoint the songs. Anoint the giving. Anoint this recording. Use it to reach your church member, the workers, the families, the congregations, to reach new people. Even anoint our songs, our prayers, the message, the giving, all the items of our worship. Let your name be lifted up, let your name be glorified. That's all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand, let us worship the Lord. mercy, O Lord. We continue to serve you, O God. We continue to live our life for you, Lord. O God, anoint our worship, O God. Anoint our songs, O Lord. It mentions that your word says that He dwells in the praises of His people. Come and dwell in our praises, O God, and heal us. Let me, O God, revival in your body, your church, as we continue to sing and praise you and committing our life to serve you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Out of Zion's hill. Yes, O Father, you shalt prepare ye the way of the Lord. We will prepare for you. We will be ready for you. For without you, we are lost. For we are desperate for you.
For you.
For this wonderful time you give us in your presence. Even let us be sit down, speak to us, your Lord, and guide us with your mercy, and lead us to the direction and the way that you want us to go. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's now collect our tithes and offering our first fruit, and bring them into the storehouse of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you give us and provide for us. We thank you, Master. We thank you for your provision, your help, and your support. Thank you for all brothers and sisters who brought to you their tithes and offering and first fruit, O God, and who delight in you. Lord, I pray, you open the windows of heaven and bless your church and your people and pour us so much blessing that there'll be no place to keep. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let us now go to the Word of God. Let us open our Bible to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. Today we speak about how to understand sin and repentance and what we, how we can go through them as God ordained for us. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 to 32. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believe him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and even he had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. Let's pray. God, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness, your faithfulness. We come before in the name of Jesus. Bless this time, O God, anoint my lips, and put words, O God, so that your people will hear your message and get directed, O God. Get helped by you, by your word, to understand your will in their lives. I pray for repentance in the life of your people who fail you. And also I pray that they will once again commit their lives to go on and serve you and do the work of yours. O God, let your message bring help, healing, wholeness, bring also hope. I pray for people to be saved. I pray also, Lord, for fruit, 30, 60, and even 100 fold. We thank you, Master. Take your word and spread it. This is all we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Through this parable that Jesus spoke this story and he asked a question, we will learn certain things about sin and about repentance. In verse 28, but one thing ye, certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. Here the father came to each and every one of his sons, and he asked him to go and work. To go and work in the vineyard, in his vineyard, and that's where that after him they will work and they will produce the fruit that is needed for them and for the people who are around them and for their families. And even today, the Lord, in the same way, he go to each and every one of us, to the people, and challenge us to go and work. He ask us to work. We need to work in the places that he put us in and ask us to work so that we can earn our living. And also that in his same, in my vineyard, this vineyard is his church, his ministry that he entrusts to us, and he had to place us to do the work that he wants us to do in that particular place that he wants us to do the work and to do the service and the ministry. So he came to the first one and he told him, my son, go today in my vineyard. You know, the father has no one to go but to his children. And even God the Father today is speaking to us to go and serve him and work in his vineyard and do the ministry and the work that we need to do for him. Verse 29, he answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. The first response of his son, he said to him, I will not, and that's sin. This is the sin of disobedience. Disobedience because he asked him to do something and he said, I will not. When you refuse to do the work and refuse to comply with God and his instruction, that is where your sin, the sin of disobedience. And but to say later on, but afterward he repented and went. The first, in his mind, he does not want to go. But after that, he changed what is in his mind. He repented and made the decision that he will go. And that is, he started to obey the Lord. Now, when he disobeyed God, that is sin. And the period from the time God have told him to go, or his father ask him to go and work, until he obey, this is the period of disobedience. And that's why delay obedience is disobedience. When you delay to obey God, that period that you are delaying is the period of disobedience, and this is sin. Delay obedience is disobedience. And what God wants immediate obedience, so that there will be no sin and there is no consequence of sin because of the delay of your obedience unto him. So here, repentance is to change the mind and go and do what God had spoke to you. Go back to the point that what God said to you and be willing to accept the task and do it. And in verse 13, he came to the second, God giving to each and every one of his children the same chance to give him the task, to go and do the task. That's how God is. God giving chance equally. He's God of justice. He's a fair God. He gives the task for different kind of people, and he's waiting for them whether they will accomplish or whether they will not. Here the second son, and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go say and wait not. God, here the father gave him the same task, and what he answered, he said, I go say. He said, I will go. But he went not. Now here is what he did, this second boy, it is a damaging thing. When he said to his father, I will go, but he did not go there. His father was depending on him. That's why when you say, yes, Lord, I will do, but you don't do, God is depending on you, and your disobedience is causing a damage. You know, when God went to the first son was not up to the standard of God, because at first he said no, but after that he went back and obeyed God. And when he told God, I will not go, God, because he heard the first son that he will not go, he went to the second son and do the work. Now when the second son say, I go serve, God was depending on him that he will go and do. And that's where many Christians who say, yes, Lord, but after that they are not living and they are not doing what God was expecting from them to go and do. That is here the example of the second son. I go here, but he went not. He did not go, he did not obey, and that is worse than the first one. And in verse 31, Jesus asks, whether of them twain did the will of his father? Now here the question of Jesus is asking who one of them did the will of the Father. It means that Jesus was looking, even till now, God is looking for people who are willing to do the will of God the Father. Doing God's will is a very important thing that God wants us to do. And they answer him, they say unto him, the first, we explain the first, although he obeyed, but there's a bit of delay obedience, that is also sin. So, the perfect thing is that once God tells us something, we need to apply it and do it immediately in our life. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. What does that mean? Why he is telling to the Jewish and the Pharisees among the Jewish that the publicans and the harlots will enter the kingdom of God before them. That does not mean that Jesus or God condone or he tolerate those who are corrupt, those who are stealing. No, he is not accepting those who are doing prostitution and those who are doing immoralities. But what he means here, those people who have said to God no, and later on they repented and changed their mind, they will enter into the kingdom of God before those who are known to be Christian, who known to be the people of God, but they did not obey what God had told them. Now the publicans, the harlots, are people rejected in the eyes of the society of faith. They are not accepted by the people of God because their life is sinful. But when they will repent, when they will change their mind and do what God had taught them to give up that sin, they will go into the kingdom of God before many Christians who are filling now the churches, but neither they do the will of God nor they fulfill what God has taught them from work to achieve. That's here to understand what is repentance here. Repentance is to go now for the second son, to go to what you say to God and what you promise to God and do what you had to promise God to do. For the first son is to go back to God and accept what he said to you. And the thing that you did not do, you need to go back and do it. Verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believe him not. But the publicans and the harlots believe him, and ye, when he has seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Now he brought them another example of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he told them, he came, preached righteousness, declaring to you the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. You refuse to believe in him, you refuse to get water baptized, but the publicans and the harlots, they repented. They received water baptism. So they are ahead of you to enter the kingdom of God, while you are not willing to comply with the things that God had taught you. You did not believe in him. We will continue expand about the concept of sin and also repentance, and let us go to the book of Genesis to understand how God, after we sin, he put consequences on us after we sin, and God wants us to bear these consequences so that we will do them in a correct way, and that is the way God wants us to go on. In the book of Genesis, we know that Adam and Eve, when they were placed in the Garden of Eden, they were asked not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know that the man and his wife did eat from it, and God brought them into judgment, and he placed on them the consequence of their sin. I'll read it from verse 15, what he placed on them. Verse 15, Genesis 3:15, and the Lord, verse 15, what he said to the woman, who was deceived by the serpent, the Satan, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. They shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now here, God told there will be enmity between you and Satan, the devil and his demons. The seed of Satan are the demons. He said to her, you will have enmity. That's why from that day, man have enmity and have fighting with the Satan and demons. And that's even till now. We have struggles, we have hardship, certain time because we are attacked by Satan, by demons. And what he taught her also here in verse 15, and between thy seed and her seed it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his and thou shalt bruise his heel. And here, what the Lord say here, that the seed of the woman, that is Christ. Christ will be going to be born from the woman. He is the seed of the woman. He will be the one to crush the head. He will be the one to bruise the head of the serpent, the devil. And that is the first time the gospel is preached in the Garden of Eden after man sinned, the seed of the woman going to bruise the head of the serpent. And that is where God wants us now to put our hope on Christ, who came and who died, who his blood was shed on the cross for our sin to give us eternal life. And also here, the Lord, at this time, after their sin, he shed the blood. He shed the blood when he slew a beast, and he prepared courts for man and woman, because after their sin, they were naked, and they sew a fig leaves to cover their nakedness. But the Lord in verse 21, is saying, and to Adam and also, and his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So the gospel was preached. The word was announced that Christ will come, that is the seed of the woman, the Messiah. And also the what is shown also that God shed a blood of animals, and that is also a sign of the coming of Christ and shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. In verse 16, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now here is the another consequences of their sin. The first one is when the fighting between the man and Satan started. The second one here is that the woman, her pregnancy and her labor will be painful and with sorrow, possibly before man fall into sin. That's supposed to be a not a painful process. But after the sin had happened, that's supposed to be the painful process. But that is mandatory. Pregnancies and conception and delivery are important because from the woman the Messiah will come. So the hope of man on the Messiah will come when the woman will accept the consequence of her sin and accept that her pregnancy will be painful and with sorrow her deliveries. And what else he put on the woman? And thy desire shall be to thy husband. What that mean? The meaning of this, since the woman was deceived and she ate from the forbidden tree without going back to her husband and asking him permission, now God put on her that she'll be controlled by her husband. And that is what we can read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Because she was deceived, because that was her sin, he told her here, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That if you want something, you have to go back to your husband, and he will be the one to rule over you. And that's where here, from that time, woman was placed under her husband, and she had to go through the painful pregnancies to deliver children. And the man, according to this, he have to rule his wife. And that is here the situation. Now, when sin had happened, God had put the consequences of their sin. Don't focus on your life before what you have done, sin or wrongdoing. That is before. Now, God wants you to focus on your new assignment. That is the way for you to be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 say, notwithstanding, she shall be saved. The woman will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with severity. So here, the woman will be saved through childbearing. What is the importance of this? The connection of this with the spiritual things. Because if the woman will refuse to get pregnant, to be a mother, from where the Messiah will be born? He is the seed of the woman. And that is the way for her to be saved. Because we know also that God... Let's read also in the same chapter, Genesis chapter 3 and verses 22 to 24. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now here, God to implement that discipline, he put them, because he put on the man that he needs to till the ground. So, in order for them not to eat from the tree of life and they got saved, he drive them out and he put an angel there to guard, angels with a flaming sword, so he will guard the way to the tree of life. So now, man has no way to get saved by reaching the tree of life because he cannot reach it. Because God had put an angels with a flaming sword. Now, the other way for him to be saved is the hope on the seed of the woman, the Messiah, and that's our hope on him. As we repent, as we put our hope in Christ and his work on the cross, we receive salvation as we persevere in doing the will of God and what he wants us to do. Now, for Adam and Eve, they need to do the will of God. They were driven outside the Garden of Garden of Eden. The woman was placed that she needed to go to painful pregnancies, painful deliveries, and that's what the Bible tells her. That is the way for her to be saved. That's how to obey God. And not only that, through her, the Christ will come. But her children, they have to be trained to fight against Satan and demons. And that's where she needs to disciple and she needs to discipline her children. You see here, all go along now the new task that God gives to man after he sinned. After you sin, to your repentance, there's also consequence that you need to bear, and that you need to do and bear. And what God had put on the man, we discussed about the woman, what God had put on the man in verse 17 to 20, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. He put the Lord on the man that he have to walk the ground. The ground will reproduce for him thistles and thorns. So you have to walk the ground, you have to till it, you have to serve it, you have to break the clods, sow the seed, watering it, waiting for it to grow, and his food will be herbs. Before he was eating fruit whenever he want, he pick up a fruit and eat. Now he have to work hard to earn his living, and his food is herbs. And that's the consequence of his sin, because he did not listen to God, he listened to his wife. And why? Now the wife should be under him. He have to control her so that things would not happen as had happened before. Now the question is, did Adam accept the consequences? Did he work it out? Did he repent, man and woman? Let's read. Let's read verse 20. Genesis chapter 3 verse 20. It says, and Adam called his wife named Eve, because she was the mother of all living. He called his wife, he called her Eve. And the meaning of Eve is life. It means that he accepted that his wife will get pregnant and she will pass through the pain and sorrow deliveries. He accepted that because he called her Eve, because she will be the mother of the whole human being. It means Adam and Eve, they respond to the discipline of God. They work hard. Adam worked the ground in order to provide for him and his family. And Eve also was willing to go through painful and sorrowful pregnancy and painful deliveries. And if we go to chapter 4 and we read verse 1 to 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So here they got children. Can't mean that I have gained a child from the Lord. Because they are looking for the Messiah. They are looking for the seed to be born so that he will save them, Christ will save them from Satan. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also he brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. See, here we understood that both Cain and Abel, both of them, they come to worship God. Cain was a tiller of the ground, like the work of his father. He was also a farmer. And both of them, they come and offering to God, because from parents, their parents, Adam and Eve, they come to know about God. So here we understand that Adam and Eve, they did their best to comply with God. They accepted the consequences that God had placed on them because of their sin. And that is here what we learn today. To understand repentance as a way of life. What you need to do, you go back to what God had taught you. And you need to consider what God had taught you in the past. You go and accept what He asked you to do and do it. That's where repentance. Also, you need to go and fulfill what you yourself had the promise to God. I will go there, but you did not go. You did not do. Now the time for you to fulfill it. And also be willing to accept the consequences of your sin and what God had a place for you to do. That is the way for you to be saved in putting your hope in Christ. Our Lord will be accepted through Christ, through His grace. By His wound we are healed. Through His work on the cross, when we repent, when we accept the new way, the narrow way that God had bestowed on us, not to do our own will, but to do the will of God. Let's all stand up in His presence. Let us commit our life and ways unto Him. Let us ask God forgiveness. In His presence now, ask God forgiveness. The thing that you say to God, I will not. Now time for you to repent. This is disobedient. Your delay in obedience is disobedient. You need to repent. Consider that God is counting on you. When you promise God something and you did not do, you are damaging. Bear the consequence of what you did. Accept the conditions, the new conditions that God had placed on you. God has sent His Son. God had done His part. God had provided for us the atonement in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus, confessing our sins, renouncing them, repenting on them, so that we will continue to go on and serve You. So when He will come, He will take us with You, with Him. Yes, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Your word. Prepare us as we repented, O God. Come to God in repentance, forsaking your sins, your wrongdoing, your hard-headedness. Give it up. Come to God in repentance. Thank you. We commit ourselves, O God, to go on through the narrow way, to do your will in full, to bear all the pain, the consequences of whatever wrong we have done, for your sake, for your name to be glorified. So Christ, O Lord, will reach other nations and people. I pray, O God, empower all the workers, all the members, O God, all the families to go on and save you. O Lord, take this word of yours and spread it. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord, that you have with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship and the Holy Ghost be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.